The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Psalm 119, we're turning to verses 18 to 20 today. Now, for the past 8 years, 2 years ago, Kim McLean has been a research scientist at the Cooperative Institute for the Mesoscale Meteorological Studies, and she's traveled to hard-hit cities and towns to understand why people get killed in storms. And she says that she's really puzzled as to why people get killed in storms when really it's survivable as long as people get to the right shelter. So in an interview with NPR, McLean was asked to explain why people failed to heed weather warnings. And he says, we give people days of alert that their general region may be threatened. But people are really savvy about this. They know that even if a region is, in general, is at risk, that doesn't necessarily mean that there will be a tornado that's going to hit their house. They're okay if the tornado hits their neighbor's house, but, you know, unless we see it hit our house, we're just not going to do nothing about it. And so people wait until things get close until they make those calls. For tornadoes, they say, unbelievably, people will typically wait until they are under a warning and there are just a couple of minutes. And then all they can really do is shelter in their place. So people are doing what they call confirming the threat. And they do this on a continuous basis. They'll be watching. Maybe they'll go and get their children, but they won't necessarily take shelter until things get a bit closer, until things are too late. It's funny how warnings work today, how people deal with warnings today when warnings come. It's funny because I remember when I was pastoring in Hawaii, we got periodic tsunami warnings in Hawaii. And it was not uncommon for us to be watching the news. The sirens are going off. There's police cars and safety cars going by with bullhorns telling people to get off the beach, telling people to get out of the water. And it was not uncommon for us to see one person standing here in the water, another person standing there in the water, people just standing on the beach just watching to see the tsunami come in. That wasn't uncommon. The other thing, too, is it's not uncommon for us to be at the beach in Hawaii, see shark signs and people still in the water, jellyfish signs, people are still in the water. I kind of wonder about that. It's like, have any of you guys ever been stung by a jellyfish before? I remember in Hawaii when I was younger, when I'm out surfing with my friends, and I didn't actually get a box jellyfish, which is another thing that's popular. I got what we call in Hawaii Portuguese man-o-war. And it's like this little bubble that floats on the water, but it has this long blue attachment. And I remember I'm paddling out swimming with my friends, and then I feel like this little itch on my wrist, and then the itch started to turn into a burn, and then the next thing I knew, my arm was on fire. Well, while I was paddling out, guess what I was doing? I was wrapping that tentacle around my arm, and I finally just pulled my arm up to look, and it was just blue tentacles all over my arm. And then, of course, being what, 12 years old, I started screaming and crying for my mom. Actually, I would have did that if I was 20 years old, but, you know, I never understood that. So there's signs that warn that there's box jellyfish and there's people in the water. What is the story when it comes to warnings? Why is it that we wait till it's too late to do anything? Why do we wait? You know, it's like I'm watching people out in the water. There's sharks, you know, the signs for sharks. There's sightings all over all day long, and people are out there. So when do they actually go get out of the water? When somebody gets bit? Oh, somebody is getting eaten by a shark, and then the dad looks at the family and goes, hey, family, maybe we should get out of the water. I wonder about warnings sometimes. And I wonder if it's our culture's rejection of authority is the reason why this is an issue. Because here's the deal. How people respond today. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. I decide for myself. And if somebody's going to warn me that a tornado is coming, that's great and all, but I'm not going to do anything until I see it. Because nobody tells me what to do. I mean, can it really be that bad? Have we actually gotten to that place? Is our rejection of authority today becoming that extreme that we would risk the lives, our lives, and the lives of our family because we don't like when people tell us what to do? Have we actually bought in to the existential idea that doing things by our own desires and impulses is the only meaningful thing we have in life? How many of y'all risked your lives when you were growing up by telling your parents, when your parents told you to do something, and you risked your life by quoting the Billy Joel song, "I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life"? I remember I'm listening to that song, jamming out to that song, and then my mom tells me to do something, mom and dad's telling me to do something, and I decided that I was going to be bold. And I was going to quote that line to them. I don't remember anything else after that, but I remember quoting that line. Ever hear people, like, you'll give somebody advice or you'll say something to an individual, and this has happened several times to me. "Shane, you know what? I believe what you're saying is true, but not because you told me, but because I figured it out for myself." And I'm like, well, you know, I'm glad that you believe this. You know, I don't know what the purpose was of you telling me that, but, you know, I get it. Is it really that our rejection of authority has gotten to the place where we're not even going to heed warnings anymore until we know what it is that we decide and what it is that we're going to do and the conclusions that we come up with? It's interesting about how far we will go when it comes to this stuff. So is it because of our rejection of authority, or is it because it's so inconvenient? We're not going to heed warnings because to heed a warning, it's just such a hassle. I got to collect my kids. I got to pack a bag. I got to do all this stuff. We gotta pack a bag and we gotta fill it up with those Clif bars. Cause if you don't bring Clif bars, you're gonna eat the food that's provided at the shelter, and most of it is made out of tofu. And I can't stand tofu. Is it because of inconvenience? So many times we say, they give us warnings, but so many times they're wrong. And I pack up and we do all of this stuff for nothing. So you know what? I'm going to wait till it's real. It's such a hassle to do all that we got to do to be safe. And at times it was just a waste of time. All of that effort for nothing. I wonder what it is that's so important for us to do or to watch on TV that it would be more important than keeping our family safe. What is it that's more important? Well, we say, hey, you know what? I don't want to waste time. Waste time doing what? Like, seriously, what is it that you would be doing that would be more important than the well-being of your family? I wonder. I mean, you know, I'm with you guys. I, you know, every once in a while I need to give my brain a rest, and so I turn on Netflix. I turn on Hulu. I've done it once or twice in my life where I spent an entire weekend binge watching some TV show. I've done it. But I'm telling you, I don't know if there's anything on TV right now that I would risk the life of my family for. Is it really that inconvenient? Oh, Shane, but the finer things in life, the things in my life that kill boredom, all those wonderful things in this world that keep us distracted. Got to make sure, one of the things when we got to leave and we know we're going to leave for an extended period of time, what is that one thing that you remember that you got to make sure you pack? Your phone charger. God forbid your phone run out of battery, and then you can't turn on TikTok for a couple of minutes or a couple of hours. I can't and I will not be inconvenienced anymore, Shane. All the leaders, these guys that do these warnings, they don't know what they're doing anyway. So when it comes to warnings, that we receive concerning the judgment of God, these are two obvious and serious obstacles that people will find even in the church community. We don't like people telling us what to do. And we like our self-centered, distractive lives with no inconvenience, so much so that we're willing to risk our very lives for it. Now, many are going to risk judgment for it. Think about that. We're going to risk judgment for this? We don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want to be inconvenienced with anything. Even when it comes to the judgment of God, we don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, because, you know, if I become a Christian, I got to go to church. You know, and I got stuff I got to do on Sundays. Sundays is a very, very important day. That's the day I get a lot accomplished. I do a lot. You know, I got to go to church. And then I hear that it's not just Sundays anymore. It's like Christians, they get together on Wednesday nights too. And then I just heard that it's actually not even just that. Now, there's this thing called Sunday school that they go to an hour before church. And then I found out later that after church was over, I did the Sunday school thing, and then church service was over, and then this nice lady, she was a really nice lady, but she really bummed me out. She said, "Hey, are we going to see you tonight for evening service?" There's an evening service too? And then I'm listening to the pastor, and the pastor is saying that we should read our Bible every single day. Man, it's amazing if I can read the Bible once a month. But I'm supposed to do it every single day, so now I've got to pray every day. I got to read my Bible every single day. I got to go to church three times on Sunday. And then now I got to go to church on Wednesday. And then they're doing this small group thing, so now my Friday night is taken care of. And then Saturday they do this bike ministry where we go and we bike up Pikes Peak and all this stuff. I mean, and everybody just, this is convenient. I got other things that I've got to do. I can't do this Christian thing. Or is it the other thing? Nobody tells me what to do. You know, I'll find out for myself if God is really going to judge people. And if I see it for myself, then I'll believe it. But I'm not going to do it because some guy got up there and told me what some ancient book that's probably just mythology, because that book is telling me that, you know, there's going to be a judgment and he's telling me that that's what the book says. I'm not going to believe it just because of that. I got to find out for myself. I need concrete evidence. I need scientific fact. I need all of this. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm like, wow. So seriously, you believe that man is the measure of all things? And they all say this. Yes, of course. Man is the measure we decide for ourselves. Well, who told you that? I did. That blows me away all the time. We decided that. And then do we really know? Authority. Inconvenience. Finer things in life. Don't want to have bother with anything. Don't like hassle. Because I'm so busy doing stuff. Doing what? Stuff. And yet, judgment is coming. And if there's one thing that we have seen, one thing that we have been made very, very clear, where the Bible is so right, the reality that men love the darkness instead of the light. Oh, yeah. Men love the darkness instead of the light. And judgment is coming. Judgment is real. And judgment is going to be terrible. But is there hope? Absolutely, there's hope. And I'm going to show you. Psalm chapter 119, verses 18 to 20. Psalm 119, 18 to 20. But you have rejected all who strayed from your decrees. They're only fooling themselves. You skim off the wicked of the earth like scum. No wonder I love to obey your laws. I tremble in fear of you. I stand in awe of your regulations. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I just pray that you continue to help us to truly recognize and see the light. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're taking notes, the first thing we're going to look at today is the reality of how God sees and characterizes those who have no regard for God and His Word. Second, we're going to look at the reality of the judgment that's coming and the judgment that is real. And then finally, we're going to witness the awe-striking reality of the divine salvation that comes from the work of Christ to bring safety from the judgment that's coming, that's real, and one that will be terrible. So our thesis statement today is this, and again, my thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world causes us to lose confidence in the reality of the Word of God, it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Scriptures that will cause us to see the life and salvation brought to us by Christ and His loving sacrifice. So point number one, rejected. Judgment is coming. I love the way Charles Spurgeon, he says it this way. Sooner or later, God will set his foot on those who turn their foot from his commands. It has always been so, and it will always be so to the end. Judgment's coming. Judgment's real. Judgment is going to be terrible. God has... See in the Hebrew here, God has salah. He has rejected with contempt. So it's not that God is just rejecting those who have no regard for God and no regard for His Word. God's not just rejecting them. He's rejecting them with the attitude of contempt. And with the added threatening with them as if they are worthless. So this is what's incredible about this passage of Scripture. It's not only just talking about the judgment of God and the warning that the Scripture and the psalmist is giving, inspired by God, the psalmist is giving to the people who have no regard for God or His Word. He's also characterizing how God actually sees them. The idea of this is beautifully illustrated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? Here it is. What's the conclusion? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. This is kind of the idea. The idea that we're seeing in Psalm 19, in these verses, in the passage of Scripture, that God is saying, for those of you who have specifically disregard for my word, you're worthless to me. Ooh, huge. Huge. And our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the way He sees us today. For those of us that have disregard for His word, He characterizes them as worthless. Judgment is coming, and He will put down those who do not regard the very word of the living God. Now think about it. All of those who have no regard for God and His Word will indeed be judged swiftly, but they're going to be treated as if they carry no worth at all. It doesn't matter how much worth you think you might have here on earth. You will be treated and judged by the living God as nothing more than just something to be trampled on. Oh, family, this is huge. If you see the imagery that we're getting from here. It's not that God is just going to judge you. He is going to judge you because this is how He sees you. And how He sees you is going to dictate the manner in which He's going to judge you. It doesn't matter who you are in the world. You will be nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing at judgment day. It's not going to matter. There will be no escape. There's going to be no excuse. You will be judged as worthless. My friends, family, is rebellion really worth that? Disregard for God? Disregard for His Word? Is it really worth that? God is saying that those people who disregard the Word of God, which is happening more and more in the church today, I hate to say, more and more disregard. Is it really worth that? The idea of those who shagah or sheker is that they stray from your decree, and their foolishness is not just for those who reject the Word of God completely. The Hebrew rendering here shows that it's also for those who peddle and deceive with false teaching. Wow. It's not just those who just cast the Bible aside. It's also those who take the Scriptures, or don't take the Scriptures, but mesh with the Scripture these ideas that promote falsehood, falsities, and things that are not true, misrepresenting what it is that's true. This is the idea that we get from this. So it's also this. It's also that. It's not just they're foolish. It's not that you're nothing if you are one of those that disregard the Word of God completely. It's also including you who peddle falsities and stand for what's not true and what's not right. This is why, family, I say this is why you've got to hear me on this. Hear me on this. And it's been since day one, and I've been expressing just how serious this is. False teaching and false believing is a bad, 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 bad thing. There is nothing in Scripture that shows any kind of tolerance for this either. It's that one where you just don't see it. It's just not there. There's no grace, no mercy that's offered or given for this kind of stuff. When falsities and things are peddled this way, God makes it very clear in His Word that there is going to be judgment, not just for those who peddle the falsities, but also every single person that's supported too. This is huge. Oh, but Shane, I can see the false teacher getting judged, but the people who listen and support them, they're going to be judged too? Yeah. 2 John makes that very clear. God says that if you support these people, you are koinonia, partners with them in their evil work. Serious. Serious thing. So it's not just those who pass on God's Word. It's also those who peddle false teachings, peddle false ideas, false theology, false stuff. And it's also those that are going to support and follow and embrace this kind of stuff, this kind of teaching, the falsities. How does God characterize these people? They're worthless. Nothing about them means anything. There is no worth in them at all. Spurgeon says it again. I love the way he says this. Listen to what he says here. People who go astray from the right road invent nice excuses with which to deceive themselves and others, and so attempt to quiet their conscience and maintain their respect. But their mask of falsehood is too transparent. God treads down falsehoods. They're only fit to be trampled by His feet and crushed into dust. How horrified will those be who have spent all their lives in fabricating a made-up religion when they see it's all trodden on by God as a sham which He cannot endure. And people will say, well, Shane, man, I've been believing this stuff my whole life. I've been supporting this stuff. How surprised are you going to be when you recognize and realize and see God smashing everything under His feet? Fabricating. All those that fabricate. It's not just Pastor Shane, it's Spurgeon. Spurgeon's saying it right here. The Prince of Preachers saying it, making it very clear. This is all bad, family. This is all bad. And I kid you not, it just drives me crazy with all the falsehood that's out there and just how deep it is in the church. And the reality is judgment is coming. And the judgment is real. And all we're doing is fooling ourselves if we think there are not going to be consequences to this. We're just fooling ourselves. This is serious. It's an absolutely serious thing. Absolutely serious thing. And I tell you, a lot of times when I'm engaging with the culture, we're engaging on social media, we're doing all this stuff and having conversations, you know, having to weed out all the, hey, you know, Shane, you need to probably get your teeth fixed, all that kind of stuff. So when we actually have meaningful conversations with people in social media, after we get past the nonsense, having meaningful conversations, one of the worst things that I'm experiencing is not just the conversations I have with atheists. I mean, that stuff is just, it's here. One of the most painful conversations I'm actually having in social media, in the marketplace, in our outreach that we're doing, is from Christians or people who profess to be Christians. It's amazing just how much stuff Christians believe that's absolutely unbiblical. False. And just saying stuff, hey, Shane, keep the faith. I'm a Christian, Shane. Keep that stuff to yourself. Will you stop telling people? Don't get on social media and tell people about the gospel. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be building bridges here, and all you're doing is tearing it down. Stop talking about Christianity online. This is from a professing Christian. So I respond, hey! So, what do you do with scriptures about what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops, not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, doing like Paul did, going into the marketplace, talking with people about the Lord, talking to people about theology, all of this type of stuff? What about all of those things? Well, you know, that was back then, but we don't do that today, because people are super sensitive to stuff, and it's absolutely offensive. And I said, so do you think that the cross, do you not think that the cross is offensive to people? And they're like, no, the cross is never to be an offense to anybody. But that's the scripture. That's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. And show them. And you just find all these types of ideologies and all these ideas and things. And, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, Shane. All they got to do is they just got to be good people. So stop riling them up. Just tell them to be good people. If they're good people, then God's going to let them into heaven. And I'm just like, wow, we're still having this conversation today. Does the Bible say, give any inclination that all you gotta do is be a good person and God will see that you're a good person and he'll let you into heaven? No, the gospel is something completely different. The law shows us that we can't do it and that we need a savior to save us. The people that are going to go into heaven are not those that are quote unquote, according to the world, good people. The people that are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven are those who are covered by the blood of Jesus. And it's just on and on. It's just these conversations are just getting worse and worse. And it's just like, okay, well, I'm a Christian and this is what I believe. I don't think that Jesus was God. I think Jesus was a good teacher. You know, I just think that we need to follow his teaching, but I don't think that he was God. And my response to him is, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, then you are not a Christian. And whoever told you that it's okay, I don't think they're a Christian either. So that's the other thing, right? This is the other thing as a pastor. It's just any more of these days, more and more of this stuff goes on. That's what I find myself saying all the time now. Who told you that? Who said that? Where'd you get that from? Well, this guy on TikTok said, yeah, that's exactly. This is all bad. And here's the reality. Judgment is coming. All this stuff happening. Judgment is coming. And the judgment is real. And all we're doing is fooling ourselves if we think that there's not going to be any consequences. So all of this disobedience, all of this stuff happening, all this peddling of things that's happening, it's like my friend says, all we're doing is acting the fool. Says that all the time. Shane, you're just acting the fool. This is what they're acting the fool. All the effort, the cunning, disobedience, all will be in vain in the end. They all may have fooled others, they may have fooled themselves, and all they may think is that they're fine. But in reality, it's not the case. Judgment is coming. It's the reality. It's coming. Well, what's going to happen? What are we going to say? How are we going to respond? When Jesus looks at us and says, depart from me, I never knew you. How surprised do you think those people are? In scripture, when you read about that, I was wondering, like, how surprised do you think they would be? Well, didn't I do this? Didn't I do this in your name? They cast demons out in your name. They preach the word, all these types of things. Yeah, depart from me, I never knew you. I would say that they're pretty surprised. There's going to be a lot of surprise when it comes to the end. Romans chapter 1 verse 22, Romans chapter 1 22, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Judgment is coming. Judgment is real. Everything that we gain in this world will be counted as nothing without Christ. And you will be counted as nothing without Christ. And many of them still ask for it. And judgment is coming. And judgment is real. And that's point number two. Judgment is real. So the idea here in verse 119 is that these people will be skimmed like dross. That's kind of the more literal rendering that you find here in the original. Skimmed like dross. More imaginative way, maybe, is that God is getting rid of those who disregard Him and His Word as if they are, get ready, buckle your seatbelt. You ready for this? God is getting rid of those who disregard Him, disregard His Word, as if they are, click, warning signs, the scum of the earth. Whoa. Shane, is it really that vivid? Yeah, go look. Is it really that? Those of us who disregard God, those of us who disregard His Word, the Bible is calling us right here, right now, the scum of the earth, and God is going to skim you away one day. To be trampled as if we're worthless. This is striking because it talks about God's judgment, yes, but it also describes the characteristics of those who He's going to judge. The image of this is dross. Some of you guys may be familiar with it, some of you may not, but it's essentially, now it's kind of, today we use the word dross as just essentially worthless, rubbish, you know, scum, all that stuff, right? We'll say that today. But essentially where that word comes from is when, you know, people will work with metallurgy. When the metal goes molten, right, it's all liquid, there's this stuff that comes up to the top. All the impurities, all the alloys, all that stuff that's not supposed to be in the metal, it all comes up to the top. All the impurities, the junk, some will actually even refer to it as scum. When metal is purified, it's the worthless stuff that made the metal not pure. All of that stuff that comes out, that's the dross. It's not kept, it's not saved, it's not stored, it's cast aside and trampled as if it's rubbish. God is going to skim the world and rid it of the dross, the filth, and the scum. Well, Shane, who's the dross? Who's the filth? Who's the scum? All of those who disregard God and disregard His Word. Man, you see just how vivid this is? Judgment is coming, and judgment is real. The living God who created the universe is going to bring judgment. And essentially, another way of seeing this, He's not going to think anything of it. Because what He's doing is getting rid of those things that have absolutely no worth at all. He's not going to think twice about it. He's not going to go, well, I'm going to judge this individual. What? I don't know. This person might have a little bit of worth. This person might have a little bit of value. This person might come in handy one day, so maybe we should set him aside. Uh-uh. He's going to judge, skim, throw it away as if there is no worth in it at all. God's not a pack rat. You know, that was the one thing about my grandmother. You know, God bless her soul. She's with Jesus right now, so I can't say too much bad. I don't want her saying anything negative about me to Jesus. You know, did you hear what my grandson said about me today? My grandma, one of the things that used to drive me nuts is that she never threw away styrofoam. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we used to get like this fish. They put fish on these blue styrofoam thing and then they wrap it with plastic. You know, and so she'd take out the fish and all this kind of stuff and just put it in the pile. There'd be this stack of blue styrofoam that'd just be packed up like this. Newspapers in the newspaper. She wouldn't throw away newspapers. She was just like, well, you never know if you need to go back and read that story. I said, Grandma, that's what libraries are for. Can we go to the library and do that skimmy thing, you know, that everyone does? Do we have to have newspapers and stuff? I kid you not. If there was a spark anywhere that had just happened in my grandmother's house, that whole house would have went up in flames. Everything was packed and everything was flammable. But she was always saying, like, you never know. You never know when you're going to need this. Some of you guys are doing the thumbs up. Yeah, so you guys know what I'm understanding. Because my grandmother saw that, you know, I saw the styrofoam as worthless. Throw it away. But she said, no, there might be some value to it, so we should probably keep it and save it. What is the Word of God telling us here? God is not my grandmother. He sees no value in the styrofoam. These people that disregard Him and disregard His Word, He sees no value. He's going to skim it off. He's not going to save the junk because that's what they are. Junk, rubbish, scum. Scum. You scrape off the scum. It's that gritty, tacky stuff that gets on your shower wall. And you got to scrape it off. You got to get it off. You got to scrub it off. You got to comb it, whatever it is that we use anymore these days. Is that right? No? Okay. I'm okay with the scum. It's Janine that can't stand the scum. I'm good. I'm just, you know, it keeps you from slipping. When you slip, you got grip. And here's the question. Why should he think something of it? Those who disregard the Lord and His word are dross and scum and rubbish. But why would you think there would be anything else? Really? So think about it. Do we hold people in high regard who Christ sees as the scum of the earth? It's funny, right? You think of all these people who disregard God, who disregard His word, and we prop them up, and we as Christians, we look and we're just like, wow, this is an amazing human being. We should listen to what they have to say. We should consider what they have to say. When the Bible tells us that Christ, our Lord, sees this individual as nothing, as dross, as scum. We want to commune, fellowship, partner, celebrate, and support those who the Lord sees as absolute rubbish. We want to not offend those whom the Lord says are so worthless they serve no purpose but to trample on underfoot. That's what the Lord calls them. But we want to prop them up? Why do we do this? Why does this happen? Judgment is coming. Judgment is real. And He won't think nothing of it. Because those who He is judging are nothing. The Lord perceives them, this is what Spurgeon says, the Lord perceives them to be out of place and harmful, and therefore He puts them away, all of them, leaving none of them to deteriorate His people. The process will one day be perfected. No dross will be spared, and no gold will be left impure. Oh, I love that. That one day, none of us, his people, his gold, none of us are going to be left impure. He is going to purify us. How awesome is that? One process, one day, no dross will be spared and no gold will be left impure. Where will we be when that great work is finished? Will we be treasured with the gold, or are we going to be trampled with the dross? That's it. Summarized. Really good there. It's two things. We're going to be gold, pure gold, or are we going to be dross? If there is one thing we see in the scriptures, God does not threaten. He does. When God says judgment is coming, it's coming. And it came. It came every time. It was real. It was terrible. So why do we think that there's not going to be any reckoning this time? Oh, but Shane, God spared Nineveh. Yeah, because they repented. Do you see our society? In our society, do you see the people that need to repent? Do we see them repenting today? Do you see some of the people that we know that needs to repent? Do we see them repenting? Judgment is coming. Judgment is real. For all of those who disregard God and His Word, it's coming. But maybe the reason why we don't heed it is because, number one, nobody tells me what to do. Number two, it's just too much of a hassle to be a Christian today. Or maybe number three, we don't believe it. Maybe we've bought in to what society says, to what people say about the Word of God. Maybe it is just a bunch of myths and legends, and maybe the Bible is just, you know, a product of man. I don't know. Maybe we just don't trust. So we don't believe that judgment is coming. Maybe the reason why they don't come is because even though the signs are up that says there are sharks, maybe they don't believe that there are sharks in the water. There's no jellyfish. There's no coming tsunami. There's no tornado. There's no hurricane. Sorry, Shane, you did a really good job preaching today, but come on, there's no judgment coming. God's not going to judge us. God's not going to judge the world. But even worse, if the reason why we're not warning those who disregard Christ and His Word, is it because we as the church, we don't believe it either? Seriously, think about that. We see in the Bible the worst of the worst. Doesn't the Bible tell us what a terrible thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God? That's pretty scary to me. And our psalmist says today that he fears God and he's awestruck with God. But see, in our culture today, in society today, we're so fixated, especially in modern evangelicalism, we're so fixated about, oh, we got to have a big church. Oh, we got to have a popular church. Oh, we got to have all these popular things that's going on in this church. And you know, we got to have everything, and we got to have people so whatever we do, we don't say anything offensive. People don't like the terrible, judging, wrathful God. So we got to do a really good job of not doing that. Let's not tell the truth. That when we go to heaven, it's one of these things I was watching on YouTube and watching these people talk, and they were communicating. Man, I tell you what, Shane, when I go to heaven and I see Jesus, man, I'm going to walk up to Jesus and I'm going to slap him a high five and elbow bump, you know, and then, you know, kick him in the leg or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's amazing how chummy we've got with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's like, Jesus is our buddy. Jesus is our co-pilot. Right? It's this idea And it's just like, yeah, we're gonna give Jesus a high five. We're gonna go up and we're gonna hang out and we're gonna, you know, do coffee with Peter. You know, all this stuff. And it's just, everything is just like it is down here. And it's like John says, he, in Revelation, when he witnessed Christ, fire in the eyes, the mouth that sounds like a trumpet, the feet of bronze. It's interesting how when you look back during Puritan days, when it comes to, hey, when I go to heaven and I see Christ, you know what the natural response for a lot of these guys were? Not giving Jesus a high five, but falling to their knees in worship. Isn't that what we see in Scripture? The elders came, saw Christ, and what did they do? They bowed down and casted their crowns at His feet. Sure, Jesus is my brother, but Jesus is also the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. And when judgment comes, I'm going to be like, that's my brother. I'm covered by the blood. I've been saved by grace. But man, when judgment comes, family, I just the Bible just gives this picture of understanding what is actually coming. And it terrifies me to think that anybody is going to have to withstand that. And anybody is going to do it. Especially if I know I had something that I could have done. And the one thing that I could have did is I could have warned them. So one theologian said, God does not threaten, and the devil does not warn. Wow. Are we going to warn? Many of us, we know people. You know people in your life. You know that they disregard God. You know they disregard His Word. Are we just going to let it happen? You know judgment is coming. You know judgment is going to be terrible. Are we just going to let it happen? Are we going to at least warn them to let them know that judgment is coming? Because the reality is, there's enough room for them. It's not like you're in a raft and it's full, and you wanna save all the people. And be, hey man, there's no more room. There's room for them. Are we gonna tell them? There's people dying of a disease that's fatal. But you know that there's a cure. Are you gonna tell them? Are we going to say anything? Are we going to communicate anything? Are we going to warn them? Are we more concerned about our comforts, our reputations, than we do about the salvation of those who would be judged? I mean, I gotta be honest. I'll tell you, be honest sometimes. In social media, when I'm engaging with these people with the outreach that we're doing, they're so mean and they're so nasty to me. If you guys have gone there and you guys have seen it, I know Sabrina has seen it. And I know Sabrina, she weeps and cries for me. They're mean. And there's times I'm looking at that person going, man, God, feel free to pass over this dude. I'm just being honest. But then you know what actually scares me the most? Sometimes it's just like, you know what, I got to repent. And so I end up praying for that individual. God, I'm sorry for saying that. You need not pass over that individual. Because in my head, it's not so much that I want that individual to get saved. I am absolutely terrified of what that individual is going to do when they face the wrath of God. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth? I'm absolutely terrified of what my brother, what the King of Kings, what the Lord of Lords is going to do when He comes and judges. I hate to say it, hell is not going to be a party with the devil. It's not going to be a big party with rock stars and movie stars. It's the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the place of eternal fire. It's the place of eternal darkness. The place that's reserved for the devil and his angels. This is the place where we are faced with the wrath of God. The Word of God declares what a terrible thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. So this is the reality. Judgment is coming. Judgment is real. And judgment is going to be terrible. But can we be saved from it? Absolutely we can. Absolutely we can be saved from judgment today. And it comes from the Word of the living God. It's called the Gospel. The reality is, yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. No, not one. There is no one on earth who always does good and never sins. The Bible is really clear about that. It's there. That's the reality. But the good news is this, there's salvation today. Not because you've done a really good job of being a good person and God's going to let you in because you're a good person. No. The reason why we have salvation today is because Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's salvation for us today. There is a cure. And our awesome God gives us a promise. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation for us. Yeah, I did. I preached the truth. There is this thing called the wrath of God, and it is awful, and this is and it's terrible. But I also want to let you know that our God is also gracious. Our God is merciful. He's long-suffering. And he sent his son, Jesus, to live the life that we should have lived and die the death that we should have died to bring salvation to us all. There's a cure for what ails us. Everyone is starving. You know where the bread is. Are we going to tell them? By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's my prayer that we all shout it from the rooftops. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.